Welcome back to the Golly Young Men Podcast, episode 132. We are just super excited to be recording this episode for you today. We're talking about something that is very near and dear to Joe and I's heart, and that is golf. not entirely about golf. I would imagine you probably know the name Scottie Scheffler. If you don't, just crawl out from whatever rock you've been living
exactly.
under.
Exactly. Hope your rock is comfy.
Scottie Scheffler is the number one golfer in the world, easily the best golfer in the world, has been for a long time. He made some comments recently about life, fatherhood, finding fulfillment in what he did, or what he does, rather, that is playing golf, that Joe and I found really interesting. Actually, a lot of people found really interesting. There were a lot of talk shows that kind of reacted to what Scottie said. And so we want to talk about that today because I think it really makes for a good platform for us to discuss because it has to do with being a golly young man and a lot of the things we talked about before, working hard at your job, really pursuing greatness at your job while also being an incredible father, great husband. Scottie talked about a lot of that. So to set up a little context, again, Scottie is the best golfer by far. He's one of the best iron players I think we've ever seen. He drives the ball really well. Recently at the Open Championship, he used to struggle with his putting. Not anymore. His putting is great. He's just all around really good. He's been number one in the world for 151 weeks.
That's crazy.
Since May of 2023. And entering into this year, Scottie only had two major championships. He'd won the Masters twice. This year, he won the PGA Championship. And then on the eve of the Open Championship, formerly referred to as the British Open, earlier this year, basically, the week leading up to it, Scottie was asked a question, I don't even know what the question was, but he went on this really 4 or 5 minute diatribe about what fulfills him and about how golf really does not fulfill him. Joe, any introductory thoughts before we play the video and let them watch?
You know, this is a few weeks old at this point. They are now in the FedEx Championship as we're recording the FedEx Championship and or FedEx Cup, which is getting toward the end of the season. So this is probably about a month old, but interestingly, it stayed in the news.
Because
going to get into Tom Brady, Skip Bayless, you know, these things have been commented on, like this particular interview, and I think that goes to show he opened up something in the sports world that's really interesting. The comments that he made caused everybody to step back, and it caused everybody to kind of take a stance in terms of, where do I stand on this? Do I agree with him? Do I disagree? Or, you know, sports everything? Is this fulfilling? Is it not fulfilling? All of the things that he brought up, it causes everybody in the sports world, anybody who's even remotely interested in sports, really, to kind of ask themselves, what do I think about this? Because it's almost like he pulled the curtain back to some degree on, man, how are we supposed to view professional sports? How are we supposed to view our jobs? I mean, it touches on a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to play the clip right now, and we'll react to it in just a second. Here you go.
You know, this is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest, you know, places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life. And then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world and then they're like, what's the point? And, you know, I really do believe that because, you know, what is the point? You're like, why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis. It's like showing up at the Masters every year. It's like, why do I want to win this golf tournament so badly? Why do I want to win the Open Championship so badly? I don't know. Because if I win, it's going to be awesome for about 2 minutes. And then we're going to get to the next week, and it's going to be like, hey, you won two majors this year. How important is it for you to win the FedEx Cup playoffs? And it's just like, we're back here again, you know? So we really do. We work so hard for such little moments, and you know, I'm kind of a sicko. I love putting in the work. I love being able to practice. I love getting out to live out my dreams. But at the end of the day, sometimes I just don't understand the point. I love the challenge. I love being able to play this game for a living. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. But does it fill the deepest, you know, wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not. You know, that's why I talk about families being my priority, because it really is. You know, I'm blessed to be able to come out here and play golf, but if my golf ever started affecting my home life, or it ever affected the relationship I have with my wife or with my son, you know, that's going to be the last day that I play out here for a living. You know, this is not the be all end all. This is not the most important thing in my life. And that's why I wrestle with, why is this so important to me? Because, you know, I would much rather be a great father than I would be a great golfer.
So as you notice from that clip, Scottie seems to be honestly just not all that invested into, from his perspective, how great at golf he is. He said things like, it's not a fulfilling life. I think that was the phrase that caught most people's attention. Like, it's not a fulfilling life. He asked things like, you know, what's the point? What's the point in all this, essentially? Right. You know, asking himself why he wants to win so badly. And Joe and I were talking off air about how it almost seemed like Scotty was having a conversation with himself.
Yeah.
Kind of about, and what's interesting about this was before the Open Championship. Scotty rolled over everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Makes all these comments like, you know, I don't find it all that fulfilling, and then just destroyed everybody, which is super ironic. But that's what is so interesting to me about this, Joe, before you kind of get your reaction to just the video itself and then as we get into kind of the content. We are not used to our athletes being like this.
Right.
We are used to our athletes, at least the best athletes, being kind of cold-blooded killers, not really family guys. You know, you think about the guys that in sports that are kind of family people, it's interesting. Like Mahomes is kind of a family guy, but he's kind of, I guess, an outlier. Typically,
right.
The best athletes, the best guys that play sports, they don't make comments like this.
Right.
They are all work. They are all working out, all dedication to the game. Guys like Michael Jordan, of course, is most well known for that. Even Kobe, the late Kobe Bryant. In the golf world, Tiger Woods is very well known for kind of letting his family go up in flames in front of him just because he was so dedicated to golf. What we're not used to is a guy like this. I think Mahomes probably compares pretty well as well, who just absolutely dominates everybody and yet says stuff like this and is very family oriented. What thoughts do you have on that?
Yeah, I was thinking about golf in particular. I mean, baseball, I don't think you hear this. Baseball has zero personality.
It really does.
I was thinking about, why is it with Mahomes? But you also see it, as Brady's about to say, Manning seemed to be more of a family guy. Football lends to it because it's 16 weeks of the year. So, yes, they're working hard, but it's one Sunday or a Thursday or now, I guess, Monday or Saturday, whatever it is. Like, now they're playing more.
During the season, it's pretty intense. Yeah.
During the season, very, very intense. 16 weeks, 17 weeks now, and then you got playoffs, of course. And so you're talking maybe a little less than half of the year.
4 or 5 month stretch, yeah.
4 or 5 month stretch. You know, these guys are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, pretty much every single weekend from maybe late March, April to
the major season.
They're starting around until about September maybe. You know, all the way through they're doing it. And so, yeah, the idea of being a family guy, like you're on the road all the time. You go and you practice these courses before it starts on Thursdays. So I think the idea of being a family guy in a sport like this can be very, very difficult. And that's why you see somebody like Tiger come along and he just destroys everybody. Like his life, he doesn't think about, I guess, his Elin or whatever her name was. You know, she was only famous because she was famous ahead of time, because she was a model. Other than that, Tiger didn't seem to be like that big of a family guy. His son, Charlie, I don't think had even been born when all of the scandal came out in 2009 or somewhere around there. And so it's just very interesting to see kind of the juxtaposition between somebody like a Tiger Woods and somebody like a Scotty, and a Scotty saying this. I don't know the Tiger commented. I'd love to know his comments on this. Did he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen him comment. I'd love to know his comments on this because he did lose himself in the sport
yeah.
quite a bit, and he was just a machine, and that's what made him great. But you got the sense of what Scotty's pointing out. It's not a fulfilling life, and what's the point? Like, it's almost as though if you could have told Tiger this, maybe like 2005-ish after he's done beating the snot out of everybody, like, guy, there are other things in life that are important. You do wonder if he would have absolutely imploded the way that he did with the prostitutes and everything that he got into back in 2009, a little bit before. Like, would that have changed his approach? If he had Scotty's approach to say, it's not a fulfilling life. You know, there are other things here. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to look at what Scotty got right in particular. And I guess we'll have a brief word on what he got wrong. I don't know. Nitpicky. We'll see what, didn't have a ton. But as we get into this idea, you know, just the initial thoughts on this and what Scotty got right, I think there are multiple angles to this. But what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, and please hear me out. I'm not trying to compare myself to the number one golfer in the entire world by any means. What's interesting about this to me, though, is, and maybe this is why it's sticking out and why we're doing an episode on this, I think it speaks to a lot of the struggles, internal kind of struggles in my head that I have, and I don't want to speak for you, but I imagine the same for you.
Yep.
Because the first thing that I have on here, something that Scotty spoke to, is kind of the never-ending rut of chasing the next thing. My words, not his, but he talked about how you show up to the Masters, and you know, for him, he's won the Masters twice, and then it's really exciting, and it's like, all right, what's the next thing?
Well, he mentioned, and when the PGA says, if I win the Open here,
which he
did, it's going to be the FedEx Cup, which is taking place now. You know, you're going to be there wondering, well, what about now? What
next
about
thing?
Now? Like, what's the next thing? Like, even if he wins two majors in a year, which is insanely impressive, What's the next thing?
You even saw that with Tiger. Guy was at the top of the golf world and was like, I'm going to completely deconstruct my swing just because I would think I can get a little bit better.
Yep.
And so it kind of seems almost counterintuitive to say the never-ending rut of chasing the next thing. But, again, not to speak for you, Joe, I would say both of us have been here and maybe even are currently here kind of always looking ahead at what's next, what's next. And where I think, once again, this is what Scotty hit on that is correct, is that is a dangerous way. Maybe danger is a bit too strong. That's not a super healthy way to live because you're never able to focus on what's going on right now. You're going to miss your kids growing up, and Scotty's got an infant son. And I don't know. Yeah, just kind of he really hit on something that I, once again, struggle with is like, I don't want to be in a never-ending rut of just, what's next? What's next? Next promotion, next job, next house, next vacation, next this, next that. Even the number one golfer in the world struggles with that, apparently.
Yeah, it's really sad because you grow up thinking, that's what would really do it for me, you know? And it's like, no, because you'll still be asking the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I had this thought occur to me, man, it had to be probably a decade ago. You know, right when I'm 31 now, which hurts to say, because right around that time is you're kind of coming into it of, man, the people I see on TV, like, man, that could be me type of thing. And I was very into hockey growing up, and everybody wants to be big. And then, it occurred to me, like, you watch somebody like Michael Phelps. He is no longer the best swimmer in the world. Now, is he the greatest ever? No doubt. Well, that's certainly.
People still know his name.
Yeah, people still know his name. Like, that is a legacy that's incredible. And that's what we strive for. But he's no longer the best in the world. There will always be the next person, the next person, the next person, the next person. And you can't maintain, like, you may win a gold medal this year, and in 4 years when you come back, you may not. So you got to claim you were the best in the world. Maybe for those 4 years, somebody else comes along and claims it from you. Like, so even in that, when you think about this glory that you're going to get, yes, there's a part of it that people are going to remember your name after, but there's also a part that, like, there's always going to be, as Qui-Gon would say, there's always a bigger fish. Like, there's always going to be that next challenge or the whatever it is, and you're never going to be able to consistently stay on top from the moment you step into the world to the moment you leave the world. You're going to be the best at everything. That's just not the case. And so finding beauty in the process of trying to be great, and he does get at this a little bit in there. Like, he loves the sport so much, as you talked about, a little bit of that push-pull, kind of like, you know, he's fighting with himself, and that almost seems like it in that clip, because he does love the game so much, and he does chase this, and he does really
love to win.
He loves to win. But what do you know? You know, he wins, and the next thing you know, the next weekend is like, well, what about now? What about now? What about now? So, yeah, I think that's a really good warning for us as men. Don't ever put don't put all the eggs in the basket of winning. Don't put all the eggs in the basket of arriving, quote-unquote. It's kind of like it's the joy that we get from pursuing the next thing is really where we need to be as men. Like, we are getting there, and that's kind of as he gets into the fulfillment.
Well, and to be fully candid here, just with the godly young men, you know, once again, not to relate everything to myself here, but God has blessed me tremendously. I own a home in a very nice county and city in Tennessee. I've got a wonderful job. My boss is incredible to me. I've got 3 kids. I've got, we live in a neighborhood. And the amount of times I find myself looking at other houses I drive by, like, man, it sure would be nice to live there, or man, it sure be nice to have my house paid off, or man, I just can't wait till I can travel more. And I don't know. That's just not healthy. That's just not a good attitude to have. And I'm preaching it myself here. Again, very different than Scotty winning major championships. You know, obviously a lot bigger stakes. But where that relates to me is, once again, like, I think about that far often than I should. When I should be realizing there's a lot of people that cannot afford a house right now. There's a lot of people that wish that would. And there's a quote actually going around right now, and I don't have it in front of me. I'll probably butcher it. But basically, like, be mindful of the fact that you are now. What you prayed for once is what you have now.
Yeah.
And people are always wanting to look at the next thing. And that's, again, I find myself in that same spot. So I think that's what touched me the most.
Just what I was going to say, I do the same thing. We'll drive through nicer parts of Nashville, and like, one of these days we'll get there type of thing. And part of it is, I want to spur on to be better in myself and to, not lose interest in life type of thing. On the other hand, I agree with you, because if I had that, would I be happy? Like,
Would you be looking for a bigger house? Yeah.
Correct. Because if I went back, if I rewound the clock 5-6 years ago, and I explained my life now, here's how much you're going to make, here's what you're going to get to do for a living, let's say a decade ago.
You'd sign up for it in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
It'd be like, are you kidding me? I get that. That's incredible. And then you get here and you go, what's the next thing? You know, where do we go from here? And you can see, even at the top of the golfing world, number one in the world, one of the greatest golfers. I think he'll go down as one of the greatest golfers to ever play.
He'll probably go down top five easily.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he continues for even a year or two more, he probably will. And you get to this point, he's struggling with the same stuff. And, of course, he's got the media that kind of push it, which would stink, you know, having the media ask you these questions and such. But either way, he's dealing with the same stuff. Like, that is not ultimately where he's finding his fulfillment, and he's realizing, I mean, is this it? Like, what's the point in doing all of this? And there is a point, which we'll get to, but, you know, I think he comes around to it, and I guess that gets us into this next part of it, which is, you know, the family element has to be present, because we've talked so much on the show about legacy and about posterity and about, you know, multi-generational faithfulness and doing something bigger than yourself, and that's such an important element here, because if you don't have the family, you could be the greatest in the world. Who cares? You look at Tiger Woods. He will always be considered the greatest golfer ever. Well, Jack Nicklaus, but I think
it's Tiger.
I think it's Tiger, you know, and so he'll always have that. On the other hand, you think from his personal life, okay, he did that, but how many tires did he blow along the process? Like, he gets divorced, and his name goes through all the tabloids, and he's sleeping with, you know, porn stars, and just horrible things have taken place, and he just went so far down in his life, and you just wonder, like, okay, if you'd won a couple less, and I know I'm not, these are all hypotheticals, but like, if you'd won a couple less, but kept your family together, and really been able to preserve your legacy as the ultimate family guy, and as a guy who's very much like Scotty's doing, would you have taken it? And I'm curious to know what his answer would be.
Yeah.
You know, if he'd be able to see the family element makes all of the difference, because Scotty is very clear that his family is way more important than professional golf.
Not to do what I like to do a ton, which is hate on Michael Jordan, but you see the same thing. I mean, Michael Jordan, not really much of a family guy. His son's a train wreck. I don't believe he's married. I know at one point he was dating or engaged to like a super young girl, kind of Bill Belichick style. Not quite, obviously, that much. But like, he was at the top of his game, too, and is not known at all for being a family guy. Would he trade it? And I would imagine his answer would probably be no. But Scotty, as you saw in that clip, he made it very clear that family was far more important to him than golf. He said, the day that I essentially stop being...
That it gets in the way.
That it gets in the way of me being a good husband and father is the day that I will stop playing professional golf. Like, very matter of fact, he said, I'd much rather be a great father than a great golfer. And there were some people, as we'll get to in a second, that kind of took issue with that. I think that's where he absolutely nailed it. And once again, the guys like that, for whatever reason, typically are not at the top of the sports world. They might be good players, they might be professionals, but you don't see that a lot. And yet Scotty made it very clear that is what is absolutely most important to him. You saw the Nike cover ad that was basically Scotty kneeling while his son was crawling across the green, and the Nike ad said, "You've already won." And which is very interesting coming from Nike, ironically. Very ironically, but I think that, to me, this is what was one of the more important parts of the clip and one of the more important parts of Scotty's answer, is that he made it clear you can be the best golfer in the world, you can be number one, and everybody, you know, knows who you are, but if you lose your family, if you're a crappy father or a terrible, terrible husband, it is not worth it. And it's so refreshing, and man, hopefully this ages well, hopefully Scotty does not go off the deep end here in 5 years and this ages very poorly, but For a guy that is as talented and is as wealthy, I mean, he made $60 million last year just winning one major. Like, just ridiculous amount of money. He seems to have his head on straight. He seems to have his priorities aligned.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about this. We have Mahomes is one of them. Jokic is another one. Love the guy to death. I mean, all he wants to do is race his horses and play with his,
Jokic is
with
so
his wife and son. He's an ultimate family guy. He can't wait to go back to Serbia. He's got his own, his brothers are very close, and his parents. I mean,
it's almost like a resurgence in the family.
Yes, exactly. You're seeing this with other star athletes.
Unpopular, but LeBron as well.
LeBron is as well. I mean, I may disagree with the guy on certain things, but he is undoubtedly, like, dialed in as a father. He supports his kids as much as possible. He's the reason Bronny got drafted as high as he did. And you may look at that nepotism and everything else. It's like, would you do any different as a father? Would you not push for your son to have the best possible odds? And so we are seeing this resurgence of, like, this matters. I hate Steph Curry as well. I don't like his wife, but Steph Curry has also made it very clear that he's very, you know, very big on family. So I find that to be pretty interesting, that in today's culture, this is kind of opening up to this idea of maybe us going all in and losing ourselves in this, because Tiger was part of that era. There's multiple guys. I think a couple baseball players, I know, well, I mean, you look at like Barry Bonds and such, where none of these guys are known as ultra family guys, and they're cheating all along the process and such. But just guys that are all in on the sport and not the family, we're realizing we've been sold a bill of goods because without the family, it ultimately really doesn't have meaning. But then you have somebody like Skip Bayless come along.
Real fast, sorry. I wonder if part of that, and this is kind of just us kind of pontificating about sports, which we both love so much. I wonder if part of it is because for guys like Jordan and for guys like even Magic back then, like if sports is all you have and there is so much pressure, like if you lose, what do you have to go home to? What do you have to go back to? Now, for Scotty, there's no pressure. I mean, there's pressure, maybe internal pressure. Obviously, the media is expecting him to win. But like if he's finding his fulfillment in being a father and being a great husband, he can go out and miss the cut and he's going to be okay. Versus these other guys that maybe don't have faith, don't have any kind of religious background, or don't have any kind of family, which, again, we're about to get to Skip Bayless here. If they don't do well, they don't succeed, what do they have to look forward to?
Tebow had the same approach. Tebow time was a thing for a reason, which is, I mean, there for a season and a half, really. I mean, people cut him off in the knees. Tebow was great. I mean, I was a Broncos fan. We watched him.
Won
a
playoff game.
He'd go into the fourth quarter, and it's like, it's Tebow time, baby. Like, we know what's going to happen. Sure enough, he'd come back. You go, how in the world
is
this possible?
That was one of the coolest NFL seasons of all time.
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible to watch. I got to go to two games that season. It was like, you know, and I never went to Broncos games. Just happened to, you know, to luck out. I went to the Bears game where he stepped out, stepped out of the sideline. Like, if he stays in, their running back stays in, the clock
Marion Barber. I remember
Marion
who
Barber
it was.
As he's not Hall of Fame, but he's a very good running back, and steps out as a boneheaded play, and you go, how in the world is this possible? Just felt like God was guiding our season so we could lose in the second round to Tom Brady. But anyway, you look at Tebow, he had the same thing, which is his priorities are, look, God first. If I come out here and do great, to the glory of God. If I lose, to the glory of God, like it's all going to be okay. And you saw the calm presence. Yeah. And I don't know if Mahomes has the same thing. He seems like it. Like they talk about his heart rate going down, the calm presence in these tight moments. Scotty goes out there and destroys people on a Sunday. You go, how in the world does he do this? Even if it's a tight battle, he just stays calm, he stays grounded, and you got to figure it's because this family element is present. As opposed to somebody like a Skip Bayless, you know, he gives us these comments.
Real fast, brief rundown on who Skip Bayless is. A lot of these guys probably don't know who Skip Bayless is.
Yes, so Skip Bayless is a sports commentator. Used to work with ESPN opposite Stephen A. Smith.
Bit washed now.
Bit washed, then he went to FS1. Then I think he got in trouble at FS1. Is he still there?
No, he's doing his own thing.
I was going to say, I think he's doing his own thing now. So just his own podcast. But yes,
he was one of the pioneers of the sports debate. Like,
yes.
If you see guys debating back and forth, Skip was kind of really one of the first pioneers of that. Very, very
loud,
well respected.
Very outspoken. Yeah. But also, yes, I mean, he was well respected in the sports world for his takes for a very long time. And then he did the show with Shannon Sharp. And so he's been around.
Yeah.
So anyway, he came out on his podcast and had this idea. And I might butcher it, so I'll give it over to you because I didn't watch the full clip. Read some things on it. Saw a quote or two from it. But his whole idea was basically like, well, he has a – well, I'll let you take it.
Yeah, he strongly disagreed with Scotty, essentially. And
yeah, that he has a duty, basically, to go out there and give it his best because it's a God-given talent.
Yes, so Skip Bayless has made it very clear. And the only reason we're bringing him up is because it was just kind of an alternate perspective on Scotty. But Skip made it very well known that – so he does not have any kids. He tells a story about how he also admits in this clip, this video, that he lost his first wife, his first marriage, kind of went up in smoke because of this, that he was just so committed to his work, so committed to becoming the best kind of sports commentator. He kind of equated himself to Tiger and Michael Jordan, kind of ironically, about how they were cold-blooded killers.
It's a bit much.
And he wanted to be the cold-blooded killer, you know, a little bit much. But yeah, he tells a story about how on his now current wife, the first date he ever had with her, he told her, "You will always be number two. My work will be number one." Told her that on the first date, and you know they're married. And anyway, he talks about how he sacrificed having kids so that he could pursue what his God-given talents and basically what God put him on the earth to do. And he argues that that's what Scotty is missing, is that God gave Scotty these incredible gifts. To be a great golfer and to use those gifts to maybe even spread the name of God even more because of how good he is at golf, and he thinks that Scotty was kind of being too flippant about that. But what's interesting is that Skip also said, essentially, Scotty, it's not your time to be focusing on your wife and an infant son right now. You are at the top of the golf world, and I'm paraphrasing. You can watch the clip. I think I'm doing a pretty good job of describing what he said. Essentially that he was essentially accusing Scotty of having his priorities in the wrong place, which I thought was pretty interesting. So I know you didn't watch the clip. What kind of initial thoughts
that's a brutal take, in my opinion. I mean, I think about it like...
I think there's an argument to be made that what God gave you as far as talents go, you have a right or a duty, I should say, to nurture those and really cultivate those. But at the expense of your wife and kids is kind of where the take goes around.
Well, I'd love to ask, like, how many divorces does Scotty need to have before he can really settle down and stop putting everything into golf? Like, you can't neglect your wife and son and think that your son's still going to talk to you when you grow up and think that you're going to have a great relationship with your wife. He's going to spend all his money going to marriage therapy in 15 years or 10 years or whatever because, you know, he neglected his wife and she barely stuck around type of thing or only stuck around because of the money. Like, Scotty's got it figured out early. And this is the funny thing is Skip's talking as though Scotty is not number one in the world and beating the brakes off of everybody.
He even said in the video when he heard that, he mentally told himself, Scotty will probably never win another championship. And then he went obliterated everybody.
He went out there and did it that tournament. Like, yeah. This is what Skip gets wrong is he's assuming that there's a time and place for these things. And this actually kind of dovetails with Tom Brady's comments we're about to get into, which is like those things aren't mutually exclusive. He can be an incredible golfer. He can be number one in the world. He can beat the snot out of everybody. And he can still prioritize his family. And Skip is acting like it's either or, like it's one or the other. And I don't think Scotty was intending to. Tom Brady and his, and I'll let you read this here in a second. He seems to think that Scotty was saying the same thing, that he was saying that it kind of goes, basically it's one or the other, and I don't think he's saying that at all. I think he's saying, I love golf so much, but it's ultimately not fulfilling. He wants to be the best. He wants to compete every week. He hates losing, but he also wants to get his wife and kids right. And so for Skip Bayless to come in, who doesn't have kids, who gave it all up, lost his first marriage, like that is quite the statement. I hope you really enjoyed being at the top for as long as you were, Skip. That's great. I hope you enjoyed that to death. Because you have until your death to basically fade into to oblivion where nobody cares about you and you're onto your second marriage and the only reason she's around because of the money because you already told her she's number two. So, and she stuck around for some reason. So man, that's horrible.
And not to tread too much on the Belichick Shannon Sharpe episode we did a couple months ago, Skip is in his late 70s now and is still just working his tail off, doing his own podcast, like no kids,
there's more
no
to
grandkids.
Life than work.
There's more to life than being the best sports commentator out there. But
talk to Solomon, you know, real fast. Yeah. Like, talk to Solomon. You read the Ecclesiastes, like, yes, I have done it all. I have put everything into work. I have put everything into vineyards. I put everything into women. I put everything into everything else. Like, I've done everything I can to try to find fulfillment in life, and all is vanity. And he comes back to the end, and of course, conclusion all has been hers, fear God and keeps commandments. Like, Skip misses this point in Ecclesiastes, which is, work is great. Work was designed for man, not man for work, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, work is something for us to do so we can find some fulfillment. But that is not our sole job, is to just work and work and work and work and work until we're dead, as though that's the only thing that matters. So, sorry. Go ahead and get us into Tom Brady.
We're
going
to get to Brady quickly, and then really the question we have to get to is this idea of a fulfilling life, like your work fulfilling you. How much should that matter? But Brady, again, everybody knows who Tom Brady is. Famously also got divorced a couple years ago from his supermodel wife. Initially at the time, kind of the rumblings were that she was very unhappy that he decided to play another year of football. Because
after
she wanted him to retire. Yeah, he retired and then unretired to play another year, and she wanted him to stay retired. There's been a little bit more kind of surface about maybe she was unfaithful to him, cheating on him with her, like, jiu-jitsu instructor. Goodness, sorry. That's complicated to say. You know, again, I don't know exactly. All I do know is Tom Brady is, unfortunately, another example of an athlete who did lose his family. So, with that, this is what Tom Brady had to say. He says, Scotty said he'd rather be a better father and husband than a good golfer. And my question is, why are those mutually exclusive? Sure, they're different blocks on the pyramid, but they're part of the same pyramid. They're connected. For instance, I think part of being a great father is being a great example of doing what it takes to take care of your family. I chose to do it by playing football. He goes on to say, the hours of practice, the moments when I was laser-focused, those were times when I believe I was doing the best possible thing for my family and my kids by prioritizing my profession and teaching by example what it takes to be really good at your job. I don't disagree necessarily with much that Tom had to say there. The problem is he did lose his family, and he's the one – and it's so interesting. The people that are kind of critiquing Scotty are the ones that are divorced and have lost their families, relatively speaking. But, Joe, any initial reaction – like, I agree with him that those don't have to – you don't have to – the options are not either be a great father and work a lame duck job that you don't really have to put all that much effort into, or – work a high-powered, maybe a little bit more intense job, but be a terrible father. Like, those aren't the only two options on the board. unfortunately, it does lend itself towards that sometimes, though. So what thoughts do you have on
that? Yeah, I actually, again, I'm with you. I kind of agreed with most of these things. I just don't think he had a good read on what Scotty was saying. I don't think Scotty was trying to say they're mutually exclusive. I think he was trying to say one doesn't fulfill, and if one gets in the way, he'd be willing to cut it off. And I do think that that is, yes, you want to make sure you are a good father first and foremost. You are a good husband first and foremost. I think priorities-wise, he's got it correct, whereas Tom Brady, yeah, you did lose your wife. Like, yeah. Not to be a jerk, but hey, these things have consequences when you put work in front, and there, as you said, you spoke to, there may have been a lot more things going on there. But I do think that the idea of being a great example by being great at what you do, working the hardest you can, whether you are an electrician or whether you are a lawyer or you are, you know, a grocer or you are a professional sports athlete, you give it your very best because you want to, you know, be a good example for your kids, especially for your boys, and let them see that you take these things seriously. Yeah. So, yes, as he says, you know, prioritize my profession, teaching by example, what it takes to be really good at your job. I love that idea. I think that's a fascinating take that is a needed addition to this. It's really good to be good at your job.
Yeah.
And my brother kind of, he wrote on this and was a little more
a little more critical of Scotty.
A little more critical of Scotty than we are, but it was a similar thing of like, why can't, you know, you want to make sure that you understand the big picture here, which is, yes, God is involved, and then also these things, like, it's really good. God has given us work to do. We can do really good work, and it's a beautiful thing, and we can be an example, and we can, you know, there's a lot that we can do for our families by being great at our jobs. I don't think that's a bad take at all. I think we certainly can do those, and for the guys that don't try at all and bounce from job to job and things like that, it provides instability or causes instability in the family, and it causes a lot of struggles. And so, yes, I think this is a needed point. I just don't really feel like that's what Scotty was saying, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of it is, I think you as a man need to excel at your job to provide for your family. I think pursuing greatness at your job is perfectly acceptable. I think, again, not to just completely echo everything Joe said, but you do set an example when you work really hard and try to be the best at what you do. The only thing I would say is there is a time element to it. This time is a zero-sum game. If you spend an hour doing this, that is an hour less that you're going to be able to spend doing that. Yeah. And I don't want to speak for Brady. I will speak for other guys that I know that essentially the hours that they chose to pursue their profession were hours that they did not spend, not even just playing or like spending time with their kids, but mentoring and discipling their kids. And that's where you got to be really careful. We talked about that a lot, though. So, Joe, as we get ready to wrap up here, let's talk about this idea of, again, to me, Scotty's main point was winning a tournament or being the best golfer in the world is not a fulfilling life. And it got me thinking just about this idea of finding fulfillment in life. First of all, what does that even mean? Second of all, should we try to find fulfillment as godly young men, as guys, in what we do for a living? Should we only find fulfillment in our family? I don't know. Yeah, let's talk about fulfillment. Like, what thoughts do you have on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can find fulfillment in your job. I think that's a, when we talk about that from a cultural perspective, like, do what you love, find what you love. Not everybody has the ability to do it, but that doesn't mean we can't learn to love what we do and learn to find fulfillment. And we find fulfillment not just in what the job gives us, which is money to help our family and things like that. We find fulfillment in the work itself. I do think that God giving Adam work to do before he ever gave him a family is important. That man did have to tend the garden. Now, a helpmeet is there to help him and to keep things over the, you know, the home front, and he's supposed to govern the home in that way, but he's also supposed to take dominion. He's supposed to go out and rule well. And so, yeah, there is a part of us where we should be fulfilled in our work, in my opinion, be fulfilled with the things that we put our hands to do, the being in the dirt, whether you work outside blue collar or even just on your computer. I think we can and should find fulfillment, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would disagree if somebody says that you should not find fulfillment. First of all, to answer the question of what does it mean to find fulfillment, a fulfilled life? Yeah. I think it's purpose, first of all, like kind of an acknowledgement of what your purpose is. It's a sense of, I don't like the idea of happiness, but like joy in life. Like, I find joy in what I do.
A sense of accomplishment.
Sense of accomplishment. I can go to bed at night and I'm satisfied with the day's work, or I can look myself in the mirror and be really satisfied with who I am. Like, to me,
satisfied's a good word.
That's what fulfillment is all about. And I do think that your work can and should play a part in that. I'm not somebody who would say, man, the only thing you need to find fulfillment in is your wife, kids, and being a Christian. Obviously, that should be the number one thing you find fulfillment in, is being a child of God and somebody who Christ died for. But I think it, not to tread on Brady's analogy, but I think it is a pyramid. Like, it's kind of a mixture of things that kind of work to provide. Now, the alternative would be if you're only finding your fulfillment in your job, it is probably out of balance.
Sure.
If you're only finding fulfillment in what you're pursuing or how much money you make or whatever, obviously it's probably out of balance. And so I think, I guess my closing advice for godly young men would be look for, first of all, again, I think your first fulfillment, level of fulfillment needs to be found in Christ and being a child of God. But seeking fulfillment outside of that, I do think is acceptable and is a good thing to do. It's a cop-out answer. It's got to be balanced. It just absolutely has to be balanced. And it seems like for right now, Scotty's doing a good job of that. I'd like to think that I'm doing a good job of that, but man, it can be so easy to be thrown out of whack pretty quickly. So I don't know if I answered that super well, but.
Well, yeah, I think about, we talked about it before, Ecclesiastes going forward and then almost going backward. Like, all is vanity, all is vanity, all is vanity. You get to the end and you get the God part right. You find fulfillment in God, and that brings fulfillment and joy to everything else he discussed. The work that he does, eat, drink, and be merry, he says multiple times. You know, having friends and having a wife and kids and possessions and things like that, all of that can be fulfilling to some degree. Is it ultimately fulfilling? Apart from Christ, none of it's fulfilling, and that's the point of the book, is as he moves toward that conclusion at the end in chapter 12, everything is pretty much purposeless, meaningless, worthless, it doesn't satisfy, none of that. Once you have the God piece in place, all of that then begins to, you know, be satisfactory, because we start to appreciate and enjoy what God has given us, and it puts us, it's almost like you put the right glasses on, that we can now see those things for what they are, which is gifts from God. Yeah. They are not ultimately powerful. They're not the ultimate satisfaction bringer or the ultimate fulfilling thing. They can be through him, because he allows those things for us to enjoy. He allows for a good meal and a nice sunset, and he allows for good work that we can do where we can get really good at it and we can become proficient at something. There's fulfillment in all of those things, and all of that is a blessing from God. So if you remove the God piece, there's really none of that. And if you remove the family piece, then all of that ultimately goes nowhere. Like, great, you were good in your time and now you're dead. Whereas the family is what gives that longevity. It allows you to be great at what you do and for that to continue down the generations, you know, by passing those skills on or whatever they may be. So I think God and family have to be pivotal pieces to the fulfillment, but everything can be fulfilling once those two are in place.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say is you wrapped that up really well. I think keeping the perspective of first of all, the life after this one, because again, I go back to like Skip Bayless or somebody, like, you got probably 10 more years left on this earth. You got no family, no kids, no grandkids to spend it with, no really legacy other than people are going to know your sports takes. That's not a lot to carry with you into the next life. So keeping that in perspective, but also the fulfillment that comes with leaving a legacy for your kids. All the stuff that we've talked about before, but I appreciate Scotty for giving us this great material to once again pontificate on and discuss. It's really tough. It's a balance for sure. I think it's why it spoke to Joe and I, and why we, even though it's a couple weeks late or later than when it first got released, we wanted to talk about it, because it's something that specifically if you're somebody, which hopefully all of you are, who are going to excel at your job and who's probably going to be more demanded of you and maybe more time away from wife and kids. And there's a lot of chance. Well, I don't think anybody watching us will ever be the number one golfer in the world. Hey, if you happen to, feel free to sponsor the Golf Young Men podcast in like 10 years.
Remember that you heard it here first.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I would just, the balance is the key for sure. So I don't have any other comments.
No,
I will wrap us up right here. This has been episode 132 of the Godly Young Men podcast. We'll be back next week.